Imagine you just pulled down a messy, totally tangled box of holiday lights from the attic.
Oh, the absolute worst.
Right, it's a nightmare. But now imagine that box actually contains like all of your organization's legal and financial data.
Wow. Okay, that raises the stakes a bit.
Yeah, and to make it even worse, you are paying a massive tech giant millions of dollars just to store it in that exact tangled
Which
mess.
happens way more often than you'd think.
Oh, totally. Welcome to the deep dive, by the way. And, today's supporter, Safe Server, they know exactly how frustrating that scenario is.
Yeah, they really do.
If you are part of an organization, whether that's a business, an association, or some kind of nonprofit, and you're trying to clean, store, and manage your data, you already know the struggle
It
here.
is a massive headache.
Huge, because these expensive proprietary tools and cloud services from vendors like, Microsoft or Google, they can absolutely drain your budget.
Just completely empty it.
Exactly. But beyond the staggering cost difference of switching to an open source alternative, there is a much bigger issue at play here, and that is data sovereignty.
Right, which is huge right now.
It really is. When you are dealing with legal, regulatory, and compliance requirements, things like data protection, financial records, audit trails, email retention, all that stuff, you need to actually own your data.
You can't just hand it off.
No, you really cannot just hand it over to a third-party cloud and like hope for the best.
Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. And that is where Safe Server comes in. They help organizations find and implement the right open source solutions for their specific needs. They take you from that initial consulting phase all the way through to actually operating those solutions securely on servers located right in the EU.
Which is fantastic for compliance.
It really is. You can check them out and learn more at www.safeserver.de.
It really is such a critical service, especially when we consider just how much sensitive information organizations handle on a daily basis,
Wow.
and like how often that information is just utterly disorganized.
It's terrifying, honestly. And that idea of disorganized information, of taking this massive, overwhelming pile of raw data and actually making sense of it, that is exactly what we are exploring today.
Yeah, it's a great topic.
Our mission for this deep dive is to give you a beginner-friendly entry point into a completely free, open-source power tool called OpenRefine.
Which is such a cool piece of software.
It really is. We are looking at a stack of sources today detailing how anyone, and I really mean anyone, like absolutely no computer science degree required, can take a mountain of messy data, clean it, transform it, and actually understand it.
Which, fundamentally changes the relationship a person has with their data.
How so?
Well, usually when a beginner is handed a massive spreadsheet, the immediate reaction is panic.
Oh, 100%. Just cold sweat.
Right. Because the sheer volume of unstructured information is incredibly intimidating. OpenRefine is basically built to dissolve that panic.
I think we all have a pretty stressful relationship with data. Going back to that holiday lights analogy, you go up to your attic, you open the box, and instead of a nice, neat spool, you are just staring at a massive, tangled knot of wires and bulbs.
And you don't want to pull the wrong one.
Exactly. You don't even know which end to pull first without making the knot worse.
Okay, let's unpack this. How does OpenRefine actually approach a not that severe?
Well, under the hood, OpenRefine is a highly sophisticated power tool. If we look at its architecture, it is composed primarily of Java code.
Okay.
It's about 68.7% Java, along with some JavaScript and HTML.
Which sounds a bit intimidating for a beginner, honestly.
Sure, but you don't need to know how to code a single line to use it.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, the primary function of the software is to let you load that chaotic, unstructured information, instantly understand what is actually in there, and then systematically clean and augment it.
Just right there on your screen. Right. And because it's open source, anyone from a curious student to an enterprise developer can crack open the hood and see exactly how it works. You aren't locked into some mysterious corporate black box.
Which brings up a really crucial point, I think. Before we get into the actual mechanics of untangling the data, we have to talk about where this untangling actually happens.
Yes, the environment.
Right. Because looking through the documentation, OpenRefine has a very unique setup, and it directly impacts your privacy and that whole concept of data sovereignty we mentioned earlier.
What's fascinating here is the technical paradox it presents to the user.
What do you mean by paradox?
Well, you interact with OpenRefine entirely through your web browser. So, you know, it feels exactly like you're using a cloud-based website.
Like Google Sheets or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the software is actually running a local web server right on your own computer.
That's wild. The documentation has this incredible, like, very pointed line about this.
Oh, I know the one.
It says your data is cleaned strictly on your machine, not in some, quote, dubious data laundering cloud.
I love that phrasing. It is a brilliantly sharp statement. And, you know, it highlights a massive shift in how we think about software today.
Totally.
By running a local server that you just access via your browser, OpenRefine ensures absolute privacy. Your files literally never leave your hard drive.
Which is so rare now.
It really is. In modern tech, almost every application tries to sync your information to an external server just to function.
Yeah, everything wants to phone home.
Exactly. So having a tool that guarantees absolute data sovereignty by design, where your sensitive financial records or, say, customer emails stay locked on your physical machine, it's incredibly rare.
Which actually leads to a really fascinating irony here.
Yeah,
if we trace the history of this tool, it was originally conceived by a developer named David Hun.
Right, at MetaWeb.
Yeah, MetaWeb Technologies. But in July 2010, MetaWeb was acquired by Google, and the product was actually renamed Google Refine.
Google, of course, being one of the undisputed pioneers and biggest champions of cloud computing and data harvesting.
Right. The irony is just staggering. Google literally owned this tool. But today, its greatest selling point, its defining feature, is that it keeps your data completely offline and out of the cloud.
Which likely explains why it didn't stay a Google product for very long.
Yeah, I imagine not.
A strictly local, privacy-first tool doesn't exactly align with a massive cloud computing business model.
Not at all.
So in October 2012, it transitioned to a community-driven project and became OpenRefine. And since 2020, it has been fiscally sponsored by Code for Science and Society.
Oh, CSNS.
Yeah, which is a nonprofit that basically supports open source technology for the public good.
And that community backing seems incredibly robust. Like, the sources mention that on GitHub, which is, you know, the platform where the software's code is hosted and managed.
Right, the hub for developers.
Yeah. OpenRefine boasts over 11,800 stars and 2,100 forks.
Those are serious numbers.
But for someone who doesn't spend their days writing code or just browsing GitHub, those numbers might just sound like technical jargon.
Yeah, let's translate that into what it actually means for a beginner's trust.
Okay, yeah.
In the developer world, people vote with their time. Think of a star on GitHub like a massive vote of confidence.
Like a 5-star review.
Exactly. Getting nearly 12,000 stars means this isn't some obscure, buggy side project that might crash your computer. It is a highly respected, heavily utilized piece of software.
And what about the forks?
Right, so a fork means a developer has essentially copied the source code to experiment with it. They build upon it or contribute improvements back to the main project.
Oh, I see.
So having over 2,000 forks shows a highly active, engaged community. They're constantly working to keep the tool cutting edge. It basically means a beginner can trust they are using a tool that the professionals actually rely on.
Okay, so we know the tool has a serious pedigree, and more importantly, we know our data is safe and local. But let's ground this in a real-world scenario for you listening.
Yeah, let's do an example.
Let's say you're looking at your computer right now, and you've got a spreadsheet with 50,000 rows of customer feedback.
A total disaster of a file.
An absolute mess. People have typed in their cities wrong. The formatting is all over the place. If I'm looking at that mess, my first instinct is to use Control F and just start blindly searching for mistakes.
Right, the classic manual search.
Yeah. How does OpenRefine improve on that basic kind of frustrating instinct?
This is where we get into the core superpowers of the software. Specifically, two interconnected features, faceting and clustering.
Okay, faceting first, what is that?
Well, if you are using Control F to search a massive document, you have to already know what mistake you are looking for.
True, I have to know to search for it.
Exactly. You have to guess that someone misspelled Chicago as C-H-I-C-G-O. Faceting eliminates that guesswork entirely.
How so?
It is essentially a way to drill through massive data sets and apply operations on filtered views.
So instead of searching blindly, how does it actually show you the data?
Imagine you have that column for city in your messy customer data. If you create a text facet on that column, OpenRefine will instantly scan all 50,000 rows and give you a summary box right on the side of your screen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it will show you every single unique entry in that column and exactly how many times it appears.
I see what you mean. So instead of scrolling for hours, I instantly see a neat little list telling me I have, say, 4,000 entries for Chicago. But
Exactly.
I also clearly see that I have one entry for Chicago and two entries for Chicago with a weird hyphen in the middle.
Yes, it hands you the mistakes on a silver platter.
That is so
It
cool.
gives you a complete bird's eye view of the mess. You can then just click on Chicago in that summary box, and the main screen will instantly filter to show you only that specific row out of the 50,000.
So I can just fix it right there.
Yep, allowing you to fix it right on the spot.
But I mean, fixing those variations one by one still sounds incredibly tedious if the data set is huge.
Oh, it would be.
Like, if I have 50 different misspellings of a city across 100,000 rows, I'm still doing a ton of manual clipping.
Which is exactly why faceting works hand in hand with the second superpower, clustering.
Okay, clustering.
Yeah, if faceting is the bird's eye view, clustering is the feature that actively finds and fixes those inconsistencies by merging similar values automatically.
Automatically.
Yes. The documentation states it does this using powerful heuristics.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because heuristics is one of those words that sounds super intimidating.
It does sound like high-level computer science.
Yeah, but it's actually doing all the heavy lifting for beginners. To go back to our examples, a basic exact match search only finds things that are perfectly identical.
Right, it's very rigid.
But a heuristic is like a hyper-intelligent spell checker. It looks at your data and realizes that New York in all lowercase and N period Y period, they aren't perfectly identical, but they share enough phonetic or structural similarities that they are probably supposed to be the exact same thing.
That is a really great way to frame it. The software has algorithms, basically different methods of comparing text, built right in.
Like what kind of methods?
Like phonetic matching or looking at the nearest neighbor of a word string, you don't have to write some complex formula yourself.
Thank goodness.
Right, you literally just click the cluster button, and OpenRefine does the heavy mathematical lifting.
That is amazing.
It finds the typos, the weird spacing, the capitalization errors, it groups them all together, and essentially says, "Hey, I think all 20 of these weird variations are supposed to say Chicago. Do you want me to just change them all at once?"
Which saves hours, maybe even days of manual reading and editing.
Easily.
And think about the stakes of that for a business. If a company is trying to analyze their sales by region and their data isn't clustered, their software might treat Chicago and Chicago as two completely different markets.
They'd be making decisions on bad data.
They're literally losing visibility on their own performance just because of a typo.
This raises an important question, though. As powerful as that automated fixing is, applying sweeping changes to thousands of rows of data at once can be terrifying.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when you remove the manual tediousness, you often introduce anxiety.
The fear of the save button.
Exactly.
Anyone who has ever worked with a master spreadsheet knows the sheer panic of running a formula and suddenly watching half the data disappear.
Or turn into a wall of error codes.
Yes. The immediate thought is, what if I accidentally merge two things that shouldn't be merged and I just permanently ruin the master file?
Which brings us to what might be the most crucial feature for anyone learning data science, or really just trying to clean up an office spreadsheet. The ultimate beginner safety net.
Okay, what is it?
OpenRefine features infinite undo and redo.
Now, a lot of programs have an undo button. What makes this one infinite?
Well, in a typical program, if you make a mistake, save the file, or perform too many actions after that, your ability to undo is lost.
Right, the mistake is baked in at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In OpenRefine, the software operates differently. It records every single operation you perform,
Every single one.
every facet, every cluster, every text edit. It records it all as a distinct, permanent step in a history log.
Oh, wow. It's less like a standard undo button and more like a video game save point.
Yes, that's exactly it.
You can confidently fight the boss, or in this case, run a massive, complex data-altering algorithm, knowing that if things go completely sideways, you just open your history log, click on the step right before you made the mistake, and you instantly respawn exactly where you were beforehand.
Totally unharmed.
You literally cannot permanently break your data.
Exactly that. And it fundamentally shifts the entire mindset of the user.
How so?
When you remove the fear of making a permanent mistake, you remove the anxiety of data management. It transforms the software from this rigid, fragile workspace into a sandbox for fearless experimentation.
You can just try things.
Yeah, you are actively encouraged to try weird algorithms just to see what happens, because you are always one click away from perfect safety.
And reading through the sources, that history log goes even further than just acting as a safety net, right? You can actually extract that exact sequence of cleaning steps and replay it on a completely new version of the data.
That is one of the most powerful workflow upgrades a beginner can implement.
Let's paint a picture of how that works. Say I'm an office manager, and I get a messy financial report from the sales team on the first of every single month.
Classic scenario.
And every single month, it has the exact same weird formatting errors. Dates are backwards, currencies are mismatched. Instead of spending 3 hours fixing it every 30 days, I only have to figure out how to clean it once in OpenRefine.
Right.
I extract my sequence of steps, save it as a little piece of code, and next month when the new messy file arrives, I just hit replay.
And it does it all for you.
It applies all my previous clustering and faceting automatically in seconds.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you are not just cleaning data at that point.
Mm.
You are building automated data pipelines without having to be a software engineer.
Which is huge. You are reclaiming hours of your time.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's say we've done it. We've untangled the box of holiday lights.
Everything is glowing nicely.
Yes. We used faceting to see where the knots were. We used clustering and heuristics to smooth them out. And we used the infinite undo save points to make sure we didn't accidentally cut a wire. The data is now perfectly clean.
Excellent.
But clean data sitting in a vacuum is kind of limited. What can we actually do with it next?
This is where OpenRefine shifts from being just a local cleaning tool into a powerful augmentation tool. And it does this primarily through a feature called reconciliation.
Okay, so moving from looking inward at our own mess to looking outward at the rest of the world.
Exactly. Reconciliation allows you to match your local data set to external databases via web services.
Give me an example of that.
Okay, let's say a local library has a clean but very basic spreadsheet of 500 historical authors. They just have names. Reconciliation allows the user to connect that simple list to a massive external knowledge base like Wikidata.
And to clarify for our listeners, how does that connection actually happen without requiring the user to manually search each author?
You are basically sending a specific query to an API.
Right.
Think of an API like a digital waiter. You give the waiter your list of authors. The waiter runs to the massive Wikidata kitchen, asks for the specific birth dates and published books for those exact authors, and brings that new information back to your table.
Pulling it directly into your local spreadsheet.
Exactly. Your basic list of names is suddenly augmented with rich contextual data.
That's incredible. And the sources mention a specific Wikibase feature alongside this, which allows users to not just pull information from the digital waiter, but to actually send dishes back to the kitchen.
Yes, contributing back.
You can contribute your cleaned data directly back to Wikidata, which is the free knowledge base anyone can edit, enriching the public record.
It turns your private data cleaning session into a powerful tool for public knowledge contribution, if you choose to use it that way.
But wait, let me push back on this for a second, because this feels like a contradiction.
Oh, how so?
Earlier, we made a huge deal about that dubious data laundering cloud quote. We emphasized that OpenRefine's biggest selling point is local privacy and data sovereignty.
Right, running locally.
If I am using reconciliation to connect to external web services and firing off API requests to Wikidata, doesn't that completely shatter the local privacy feature? Am I not just sending my organization's data out to the web anyway?
That is a very sharp catch, and it is a vital distinction to understand. The core operations, the loading of the file, the faceting, the clustering, the infinite undo, all of that cleaning happens strictly locally.
Okay.
Your messy data, which might contain highly sensitive personal information, patient records, or proprietary business metrics, stays completely locked down on your machine.
So the messy, sensitive stuff is safe.
Yes. Reconciliation is an entirely optional augmentation step. You only use it when you have information that is meant to be matched with public records, like our library example with historical authors or scientific classifications.
What do I see?
And more importantly, you choose exactly which specific columns of data you are querying against the external service. You aren't uploading your entire sensitive database. You are just handing the digital waiter a very specific curated question.
That makes a lot of sense. So you are only opening the window when you specifically ask it to look outside, and you control exactly what information gets passed through that window.
Precisely. And for those who are highly technically inclined and want ultimate absolute control over their software, you don't even have to download the prepackaged release.
You don't?
No. You can run OpenRefine directly from the source code. The documentation notes this requires installing things like JDK 11, Apache Maven, and Node.js 18.
Which, again, might sound like a bunch of technical jargon to a beginner.
Sure.
But the underlying value there isn't about memorizing acronyms, it's about transparency. By making the source code available to compile yourself, the developers are proving there is nothing hidden in the software.
Right, you aren't being locked into a proprietary ecosystem.
Exactly.
It provides an avenue for developers to truly inspect, modify, and run the software from the ground up. It ensures the tool remains a transparent utility for the user rather than a data harvesting mechanism for a corporation.
So what does this all mean when we take a step back? We have a tool that features powerful heuristic algorithms that rival or even surpass massively expensive corporate software.
Oh, absolutely.
It has a video game style safety net that completely removes the fear of learning data science. It guarantees strict data privacy by running a local server, and it is completely free, licensed under a highly permissive open source license.
All of which is maintained by a small, dedicated core team that relies heavily on grants, monthly sponsorships, and the support of a passionate community.
It's amazing.
It certainly challenges the assumption that enterprise-level capability requires a massive enterprise-level budget.
It really does. Which leaves us with a pretty profound thought to ponder as we wrap up. If a small team, backed by an open-source community, can build a tool like OpenRefine, a tool that can empower an absolute beginner to manage and untangle massive complex data sets locally and safely without spending a single dime, what other open source gems are quietly hiding in plain sight, just waiting to completely change how you work?
The open source landscape is vast, and knowing you have the power to control your own tools and your own data is an incredibly empowering place to start exploring.
It is the ultimate leverage. And if that idea, replacing expensive proprietary enterprise tools with powerful, privacy-first, open-source alternatives, resonates with you, that brings us right back to our sponsor, SafeServer.
A perfect match for this topic.
Absolutely. As we discussed at the top of the deep dive, for organizations, businesses, associations, and groups, the cost savings of switching away from vendors like Microsoft or Google are just massive.
Night and day difference.
But it goes far beyond the budget. It is about regaining total control over your data privacy and ensuring your organization meets strict compliance and regulatory requirements without any compromise.
You have to own your infrastructure.
You do. And SafeServer can actually be commissioned for consulting to help you navigate this exact transition. So whether your organization needs help figuring out if OpenRefine is the exact right fit for untangling your messy data, or if you need to find a comparable alternative for another critical workflow, they are the expert guide you need to make the switch smoothly and securely.
Because taking that first step can be daunting.
It can be, but they make it easy. You can find out exactly how they can help your organization thrive at www.safeserver.de.
Knowledge is only valuable when it's applied securely. And taking ownership of your infrastructure is really the first step.
Absolutely. So the next time you find yourself staring at a data set that looks exactly like a tangled box of holiday lights, don't panic.
You've got the tools now.
You know exactly where to find the tool that will help you untangle it, one local, infinitely undoable step at a time. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.